Hey, yeah, that is my daughter, Bethany. And Don Hess says, she sounds cute. She actually is. See, how can you hear that? That's amazing. That is just Don, you should have been an acoustic analyst in the Navy or something like that, because to be able to, that was beautiful. Folks, just to let you know what we're doing here on the Eagle 104.3 FM, I'm having a great time. Someday I'm going to be able to come down and we'll do a live time with me and Don sitting around being able to communicate with coffee and donuts in a public forum with people asking both people questions and having a wonderful debate and dialogue. I really want to do that when I grow up. In fact, I always wanted to go and on a cross-country motorhome trip, and in 2006 I did that, and guess where I stayed for an entire week? The same place, it turns out, in North Carolina that Don Hess happens to camp sometimes. So, see, we've got, it's just a small world after all. ThinkWeCan.com, folks. ThinkWeCan.com. Don Hess has a healthcare article there. Again, I found it on the second page of his editorials. And it's very good reading, and I think it's necessary reading. We've got a call. We're going to take it here. And, caller, thank you for calling the Eagle 104 FM. And if you've got a question, please pose it to me or Don.
Dave, the question is for yourself in regards to healthcare. I know you have a settlement from your time with the U.S. Navy. Are your children still entitled to healthcare from the U.S. Navy or the Department of Defense?
No, they are not. I don't have a settlement. It's actually a judgment. The Navy, because of its constitutional makeup, if you read Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, it pretty much sets up a Navy that's part of the security, the constitutional function and purpose of government. And so Congress has made certain rules. Secretary of the Navy has certain rules with regard to your status as military. And it turns out all that's guided by law. It's not a benefit program or anything like that. So when the Navy violated the law, and we held them accountable to the law and the Constitution, what happened is, by law, they owed a certain amount of money. In fact, you can't take them to court under the Tucker Act, under the U.S. Court of Claims. You can't actually file suit against the government unless they, because of, they have this immunity. And unless they give you a particular way to take a matter to court to be dealt with, it's got to be run very carefully under very specific laws. And so if you have a constitutional question or some kind of thing where there's a amount of money by law, you have jurisdiction in the Court of Federal Claims. So what happened was, the court determined that under the law, I had very unusual thing in history. I actually had a right to continued service under the facts and circumstances of my case. And the Navy, just over and over and over and over again, kept doing unlawful things to make sure that never happened. And so what happened is, they kept doing the wrong thing for so long that, and never fixed it. By that time, I was eligible for retirement. And so they were ordered as a minimum to provide the equivalent of retirement pay. And so they pay a trust every month as if I were retired. I actually have no military benefits whatsoever.
Other than the trust. And what about yourself? Do you personally, are you entitled to, the trust, I understand, was probably paid by the other gentleman on the phone and yourself and myself and other taxpayers. Are you entitled to health care yourself as a veteran?
Under the Veterans Administration, most likely, probably. But unless they, that's something that I probably couldn't get away with because they wouldn't let me, because I'd have to go in and they say, well, give you your number. I don't have a number. Well, go away. So, I think under veterans benefits, I see the government, unless somebody can correct me on this, the Navy and the service of veterans is an obligation of government that is constitutional, and it is not an exercise of religion. James 4:17 says that it's true religion is to take care of the widows and the orphan, that it's not the government's job constitutionally to do those things that are religion, which would be to administer health care, welfare benefits, or something like this. It would be their job to police misbehavior on any private organization or person who damaged somebody else's person or property by violating the law or doing some kind of common law offense or something like that. But there's a difference between U.S. government constitutional structure for the military and a welfare benefit, which is not the intended purpose of government of the Constitution. Good call. Thank you very much. Now, that was a follow-on call, but that was good. So am I part of the welfare benefit program if I'm a active duty military serving over 20 years and get a check every month? That's sort of the question. And I had to review that on a constitutional basis and a biblical basis. And that's how we figure out what is right or wrong. Hey, if you got another call, give us a call at 888-850-1872. That one was for me. I'd love it if you give Don Hess a call. He's in a question. Again, his website is Think We Can. Think We Can. I think, don't say I think, but thinkwecan.com. His name is Don Hess, and he's got a great article on healthcare. He's got other articles there, too. One thing I liked about your healthcare article, Don, is that you said it was, I think, one of the first major articles that you wrote that were published or put in this kind of format and made available online to people and things like that. It's comprehensive, and I that's what I like about it. I think, and we're going to take another caller here, so I'm going to put you on hold just for a second. Hey, caller, thank you for calling the Eagle 104.3 FM. Give us a question or comment for Don or myself.
No, this is for Don. I sort of wanted to join in on the discussion. I read his articles at his website, and I agree and disagree on some of his points. For example, he's talking about a Blue Ribbon Commission to deal with a healthcare system, and his main problem seems to be that Congress is owned by, you know, these corporate interests. And I agree with him to that extent, but I don't think it takes a Blue Ribbon Commission to end all that. I think it's a really simple thing that we can do to end all influence of all corporations on Congress, and that's to enact legislation that says no artificial person can contribute to anyone's political campaign. Currently, only, you know, human beings go to the ballot box and vote. But all of these corporate interests vote through their checkbooks.
Wow, good comment. What do you think on that one, Don?
It is a good comment because many experts in the healthcare field consider that it's the lobbyists who work for the corporations who probably are doing the gravest damage to our nation right now. And if we passed such laws, for an example, if we told Big Pharma they could not contribute to
political campaigns,
lawmakers, this would probably do some good.
Hey, you know what? They could spend money on luxury items like boats or something like that, or something. That would boost the economy. It really would. Hey, good call. Thank you for that call. It was superb. Hey, that was a good call. Hey, I told Don just before we took the break that I wanted to talk about analogy. When he said, just before the break, he said, look, you're heading down this path. And I know in East L.A. on Grafton Street, you can look that up. You can find out where I live. On Grafton Street in the Echo Park District, you'd go down this hill when you're a kid. And if you got the death wobble, man, you know, your front wheel starts wobbling. And, you know, if you continue to accelerate, you know, this thing's going to wipe out. So. Guess what? You either have to hang on to the bike and hope it slows down and you don't completely crash and bash your teeth in with the handlebars, or you got to bail out. One of the other things I did, I used to take the train to school. It was a boxcar, and it was in East L.A., actually Northeast L.A. Atwater District. But to avoid walking through the Avenue Gang area and the Frogtown Gang area, I would go along the train tracks where the homeless mental patients were. You know, the hobos along the tracks, it was safer for me as an 11-year-old to go along the tracks than it was to go down the regular streets because the hoodlums were afraid of the hobos, and the hobos were normally drunk or passed out, so they'd never bother me. So I'd get on a train, and I'd go toward my school, and usually the train would stop. There'd normally be a red light just behind Kmart, so I'd get off and go walk to school. So what happened is one day I noticed something strange. Instead of going click, 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 you know, the train slowing down, it started to pick up in frequency. And I looked up, guess what? The light was green. And I realized by this time it is going so fast that I bail out of this train and I'm going to get hurt really badly. But I knew the consequence was, one, being down in Chinatown, I didn't want to have to walk, you know, 12 miles back to school or something like that. The other thing was bailing out at 25 miles an hour was not on my list. You know, 15 is better. So what I did was the train was my problem. I jumped off, and fortunately, I only got a few scrapes and bruises. And you came to ultimately, you know, my mom noticed that my jacket was all torn up when I got home. And I went, by the way, I wasn't supposed to be riding the train. That was the other thing. So I did get in trouble later. But the consequence of bailing out at 25, in other words, the hitting the wall at 25 rather than 15 was not the option. Now, one thing that you said before we took the breakdown is you said there's bankruptcy is heading down at the end of this hill. We're at bankruptcy. The problem is, I said, and my take was, the bike we're on is socialism. And so socialism isn't a different path. It is going to take us into the wall. So my contention would be what we have to do is very deliberately now jump off the train, the socialism train that's headed for the bridge out up ahead. That's my perspective.
Well, David, you've made the point, and yet our troubles that have developed over the past 20 years, our financial difficulties did not come from socialization. They came from the privatizing of the United States economy in almost every important category, including finance, defense, health care. Even how we conduct our warfare is now, to a great extent, privatized.
And the term privatized isn't necessarily getting things back into a free market status. It's not necessarily putting things back in a free market, open, free enterprise economy. When you say privatized, I think that's something for our listener. We'd actually have to describe what privatization is, but we have a call, so we're going to have to get you back here, Don. What's your call? Thank you for calling 104.3 FM.
Dave, I'm calling back about privatization. Healthcare, and actually electricity has been privatized as well as banking. This is why I went to the Citrus County hearing with 500 people. They have electricity is deregulated, so there's no group of people that represent the citizens, whether they are investors or consumers. Most of us are consumers. We used to be citizens. Mr. Hess's information is spot on. And what we citizens are up against is privatization, which is where the corporation interest comes before the majority of the people. And actually, so the rates arbitrarily go up, David, on a power plant, or they arbitrarily go up. That's why United States Senator Bill Frist was chosen to run the Republican side of the House for the U.S. Senate under the last administration, because his father and brother own the two largest HMOs in the country, which is healthcare for profit, they used to be run by insurance companies, but they're now being run by hedge funds, which have been marginalized by speculators. So all of our systems, whether it's fuel, David, a price of gas, a gallon at the pump, or electricity, or healthcare, or whatever the issue is, banking, it's all been privatized, which has now been minimalized by speculations and hedge funds. But
okay, I'm going to go with that comment because I don't want to add too many comments, ands, ors, nors, or buts. So thank you for that comment. But one of the things that there is a little bit of difference, and what I talked to Don on the break was I talked about my private doctor, and there's things that he does. I know people that he doesn't charge, people who are eligible for Medicare that he gives service to, and he doesn't charge the patient, and he doesn't charge Medicare. He just doesn't do it. He just, thank you for coming, be on your way. And because he'll do that to certain people that, because they're a pastor, some kind of, you know, there's some value they have in the community, he just arbitrarily just doesn't charge people. Now, that's private free enterprise. That's not privatization. And so that's a much bigger discussion that takes more. It's going to take more in-depth discussion. So we got to close here. We're out of time. Folks, check out Don Hess's website at thinkwecan.com, thinkwecan.com. Check out his article on healthcare. And also there's it's called Privatized U.S. Healthcare is another article that's on the subject. And we're going to have him back because he is a superb, very articulate, knowledgeable man who is just great to spend time with. So thanks for listening. Check out our website at faithfreedoms.org, and we shall return.